Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to the Friendo Awards nomination special. It's time for awards. Here it going in wrong because it's the end of the year. Anyways, listen, this is the awards where the friendos, you, get to vote. And you can do that right now at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. You can click on the community tab there from the homepage, and they will all be there right now waiting for you to get your vote on. And we're going to tell you what the categories are.
Yes. The nominations also, we'll have the direct link to community tab where you can vote in the description of this video. So to scroll down below where you're watching us, click link, it'll take you right to there.
All right, Larson, let's get right into this. The very first category is Breakout Star of 2020. Your nominees are John Silver.
Of course. Really made a name for himself in Being the Elite.
Yeah.
Just a source of so much comedic gold. Fantastic.
Raquel Gonzalez, a.k.a. Yeah. The Diesel of NXT, the heavy for the heater for Dakota Kai. Really broke out on her own, though, as a force to be reckoned with.
Especially towards the latter half of the year. Leon Ruff.
North American champion. Sorry, you take Leon Ruff.
North American champion Leon Ruff. Again, latter half of the year, involved in a pretty fun feud with Johnny Gargano.
John.
And Damian Priest.
Pat McAfee. Of course, he has 7 different million-dollar revenue streams, but he added one of those this year when he became actual wrestler on the NXT brand. Lots of people love Pat McAfee, including you and I. And he had a really fun match, a debut match against Adam Cole earlier this year.
Quite fun, yes.
And then, of course, he had a pretty good showing there in the War Games match. And, quite the personality, that Pat McAfee. Definitely a breakout year for him.
You got that right. Lastly, Shotzi Blackheart. She's been wrestling for a number of years, a lot here in the Northern California area. Made her way to NXT. Was immediately seemingly to put on TV as soon as she signed, it seemed, and has had one heck of a year. Hosted Halloween Havoc, had a number of good high profile matches. Again, future definitely bright for Shotzi Blackheart.
Next up, the next category is Best Promotion. Now, I know a lot of people here, when we discussed this, when we were talking about who we felt had the best 2020 in wrestling, they objected to NXT not being under the WWE umbrella. All I can say is too bad, so sad. We both prefer to keep it as a separate thing. It's not, look, call-ups are kind of few and far between these days. They're not really considered part of the main roster umbrella creatively. It's its own thing. They have their own pay-per-views. They do not participate. WWE pay-per-views, I'd consider NXT UK its own promotion, but I don't really keep up with it. And therefore, it's not here. So really, when we say best promotion, for the purpose of NXT, think kayfabe, people. Kayfabe, it's kind of its own thing.
It's its own kind of, you know, thing, separate from main roster. Therefore, we consider it its own promotion, even though it's on the umbrella of WWE. Here's the thing. If we include NXT under WWE, no matter how good a year NXT had, WWE probably wouldn't win.
Yeah, yeah, and you know? that's paying short shrift to a promotion, a sub promotion that is really kind of doing its own thing. Yes. I mean, yes, Vince will meddle from time to time. So,
and doing your disclaimer, by and large, really good work. So, nominees for best promotion: the aforementioned NXT. Creatively had some ups and downs this year. You know, they dealt with some injuries, some departures. But the latter half of the year, seemingly a latter third of the year, especially everything since Halloween Havoc, for the most part, has been pretty solid. Finn Balor's getting healthy. Karrion Kross is getting healthy. Future's looking bright for NXT in 2021.
We'll see. AEW, All Elite Wrestling. Obviously, yeah. They just suffered a tremendous tragedy with the passing of Brody Lee. But their first full year as a wrestling promotion, my God, you know, they're doing some pretty great things over there at AEW. Still some things to work on, but no shortage of buzzworthy moments from AEW.
Next, WWE. I mean, they're the brand name in professional wrestling, the Kleenex, the Xerox, the Crayon, or Crayola, sorry. So, you know, they're this big wrestling monolith that puts out a lot of stuff, some of it very good, some of it not so good, and a lot kind of in between. The good stuff is some of the best stuff out there, though. The roster is stacked with amazing talent. You got to give them the nod, a nomination. Best promotion, WWE.
I mean, and when just to clarify again to our earlier point, we're basically talking about Raw and SmackDown here.
Correct.
That's what we're talking about.
Correct.
Next, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, they should be applauded for taking a large chunk of the year off because of COVID concerns, where other promotions were sort of tripping over their own feet, trying to keep up with COVID testing, et cetera, et cetera. New Japan Pro Wrestling was just like, we're not going to do that. We're just going to stop. You know, regardless, still, the G1 was, you know, the best matches there were must-watch matches. They made some interesting booking decisions, evil, and that's being pretty diplomatic about it. You know, they didn't run a ton this year. But what they did, it's always interesting to keep an eye on what they're doing. So.
Exactly, exactly. And of course, Wrestle Kingdom coming up here real soon. You know, their WrestleMania also kind of kickstarting their year. Future's looking bright for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Last nominee, Impact. They've done a lot to basically erase the stigma of TNA from the promotion. They managed to work out a deal with AEW to bring Kenny Omega in, bring a lot of eyeballs. See what Impact is doing these days.
Including yours.
Including me. I have an Impact shirt over there in that drawer right there that I'm pointing at. Next one of our Impact streams, that shirt will be on my person. I will wear that.
Very exciting.
And you have one, and the Enforcer has one. We'll all be wearing matching Impact shirts. We're all going to be excited to be in the Impact zone. Impact Wrestling nominee, best promotion. Guess what, Steve?
Looking pretty bright. If I knew that was going to be the gimmick, I would have been doing that the whole time.
Well, I started during the show. It just came to me.
Next up, tag team of the year, Footer, FTR. Number one. Dax and Cash made their AEW splash and won those tag team titles and put on some great matches in the process. The future's looking bright for FTR, Larson.
Don't steal my gimmick. Next nominee. What?
That's collaborative, though.
No, you come up with your own thing. Okay. It's my gimmick.
Okay.
Next nominee, Street Profits. They, for the most of the first half of the year, Raw Tag Team Champions. They got drafted to SmackDown, traded those Raw tag titles for the SmackDown ones. They've been SmackDown Tag Champs ever since the draft. Put on some really fun matches. They have been the most dominant tag team on the main roster pretty much all year long. Street Profits. Future's bright.
The North. Future's not so bright for the North because chances are Ethan Page is going to be gone from Impact. They've already basically broken up the team. I think we're going to get Karate Man versus Josh Alexander coming up pretty shortly, if the last episode of Impact is to be believed. But, you know, the North, they had over a year as Impact Tag Team Champions, putting on a lot of fun matches, most of which I did not see. But I hear tell they're pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, future not so bright for the North. But, hey, they might go out with a bang by winning.
True.
Going in Raw's Friendo Award for top tag team
of the year. Next nominee, again, future not so bright for them as a team, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. That being said, they spent most of 2020 as the tag champs over in AEW, putting on a lot of fun matches, including one potential match of the year, their bout with the Young Bucks. Hell of a team, hell of a match, fantastic year for them both.
Another tag team the future does not look bright for. Sasha Banks and Bayley, you know, this tag team was basically created to start a feud between the two of these, the two of them. I mean, kind of the same could be said about Kenny Omega and Hangman Page.
Yeah, but both were done so well in their reigns as tag champions were so good.
Yeah, absolutely. They were pretty dominant. At one point, they had all the gold, and they even went down there in NXT to take on some challengers. So, Sasha Banks, Bayley, future doesn't look bright for them, but individually.
Well, as a unit, no, individually.
Individually, yes, totally. Pretty great. Next category, feud of the year.
First nominee here, Edge versus Randy Orton. Of course, Edge returned at the Royal Rumble this year, kicked off a pretty fun feud with Randall Keith Orton that may have been sidetracked somewhat due to injury. Edge tore his triceps. Expect this feud to continue some point 2021. Guess what, Steve? Future's looking bright for this feud. Might be nominated again next year.
Sasha Banks versus Bayley's up next. Talk about a feud where there is a lot to be happy about in their future. Sasha Banks versus Bayley. Of course, Bayley laid out Sasha Banks pretty brutally, and then they took their feud to Hell in a Cell. Sasha Banks took that championship away from Bayley and then beat her in a rematch.
Again, another feud that we might see more of in 2021.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
For sure. Next nominee, feud of the year, Adam Cole, baby, versus Pat McAfee. I don't think anybody saw this really coming our way when the year kicked off. Nonetheless, we got it. Cole versus McAfee, their takeover match, actually quite a bit of fun.
Yep.
Of course, McAfee lost. And then so he started his own faction to try to stick it to the Undisputed Era. Really fun War Games match. Again, Undisputed Era came out on top there. Nonetheless, a lot of fun moments, especially when it was more about Cole and Pat McAfee.
Next, Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. Within the family, keeping it there. Tribal chief, head of table, et cetera, et cetera. You know, now Jey Uso is Roman's slightly hapless henchman, trying to please the tribal chief to ensure food continues to stay on his family's table. And those big paychecks for main event Jey continue to roll in. The future looks bright for this particular partnership. Perhaps a feud lies in their future as well. They'll come back around to it, maybe.
All right, very well. And finally, Cody versus MJF. Of course, Cody had a title opportunity against Chris Jericho. MJF threw in the towel, led to a pretty solid feud beginning half of this year where Cody had to do all sorts of crazy stuff, beat Wardlow in a cage match, and he did a moonsault off the top of it and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea. Looked great, though. Next. So wait, is the future bright on this one or no?
Oh, they'll revisit this, yes.
So future bright, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Next. Most shocking moment. Now, unfortunately, this year there was no cinder blocks to the head. Actually, probably fortunately, to be honest with you, because that was pretty rough for that poor guy.
That was bad. That was real bad.
Last year, wasn't there a hammer that was Blue Demon's hammer?
Yeah, it was Blue Demon's hammer at Triple Mania last year. We got that. We got Aerostar jumping off something really high.
That was great. This year, first nominee, Kenny Omega goes to Impact. We have not seen a cross-brand, cross-promotion situation happen in quite a while. This is a pretty cool one, pretty neat one. Kenny Omega wins the AEW World title off of Jonathan Moxley with the aid of Don Callis, Impact Vice President, EVP, whatever the hell he is. Now he's basically his Paul Heyman. And then they split to Impact. And it was pretty shocking. He was on a bus, and then he was backstage hanging out with Good Brothers.
Yeah.
He's going to be at Hard to Kill. We're going to be watching as well.
That we are. Future's looking bright for us being in the Impact Zone, Steve. Next, this one was a bummer. WWE breaks up the New Day. So during the WWE draft, Big E drafted SmackDown. Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston drafted to Raw. And they're all three of them are standing in the ring when they get that news and just crestfallen, heartbroken. And we, as viewers, as fans of the New Day, heartbroken. You know, there have been rumblings that they may do something like this for a while, even as recently as like over the summer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally did it just because, you know, there was rumors that it might happen didn't mean it was any less shocking.
Next, Brody Lee destroys Cody. This was probably my moment of the year, to be honest with you. Did Cody get embarrassed, humiliated in front of his family, friends, the AEW universe, by one Mr. Brody Lee, had that precious TNT title, which was created basically to because Cody can't have the world title, and Brody Lee embarrassed him. He should have pantsed him as well to put the cherry on top and expose him for the micro he is. Joke. I'm just talking shit. I love Cody. I think he's great. But yeah, this is a really wonderful moment. You know, again, unfortunately, the passing of Brody Lee, probably saddest moment of the year for sure. But yeah, definitely a shocking moment here in AEW.
Next nominee, Edge, returns at the Royal Rumble. Again, a situation where we'd heard rumors seemingly months before that Edge was going to return in the near future.
Fueled even more so by Edge himself on social media denying it up and down.
Yes, yes. And sure enough, I think he was number 23 or something like that in the Rumble. You hear, you think you know me.
You think you know
and
me.
And there he is. Yeah. He's back.
Yeah.
He was in the Rumble. Had a really long match against Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Had a really excellent match against Randy Orton at Backlash. Still super shocking. I use the GIF of your reaction to learning about it quite frequently.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to stop looking at chat during those pay-per-view streams. Next, and finally, in most shocking moment category, Roman Reigns returns to SummerSlam. Probably was more shocking about that, though, is the fact that he now had Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar's former advocate, with him, now as special counsel to Roman Reigns, the tribal chief. And ever since then, we've seen a renaissance for Roman Reigns. Just a real evolution of his character now as bad guy, tribal chief. It's been probably the bright spot on main roster in WWE over the second half of this year.
Yeah,
really
right.
Great stuff from Roman Reigns since his
you
return
got that right.
SummerSlam.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Yeah, next category, show of the year. First nominee, AEW Dynamite, Brody Lee, Celebration of Life.
Yeah, not a dry eye on Twitter anyways. Not a dry eye for me when I was watching it. This was a deeply moving, beautiful tribute to, by all accounts, a very beautiful human being, man. It was a shame and a shock that we lost Brody Lee this year. Next, Worlds Collide 2020. This one really flew under the radar, although I think it's funny that a lot of the wrestling people on Twitter are talking about this as being a very underrated show. My personal favorite WWE show of the year was Worlds Collide 2020. You had NXT versus NXT UK. You had Mustache Mountain versus DIY.
Fantastic.
You had the Imperium versus Undisputed Era.
Fantastic.
So on and so forth. Lots of really, really terrific matches.
Yep.
If you didn't bother to see this the first time, I think we could both recommend this one quite a
highly,
bit.
Highly. Yeah, I agree. It's my favorite NXT show of the year. Next, Wrestle Kingdom 14 Night 1. Mm. Main evented, of course, by Kazuchika Okada versus Kota Ibushi. More on that match later. Just a really, really fun card. Of course, Wrestle Kingdom always delivers.
Always delivers. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this coming weekend.
Yes.
Next, AEW Revolution, widely considered the best AEW show of the year. Really good stuff here.
Yeah, of course, you mentioned it earlier. Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega, Hangman Page. They had their tag title bout at this show. Fantastic. Also, Mox beat Jericho for the AEW title on that night. Also, MJF versus Cody. Just a really stacked card.
Yeah, for sure. And then finally, Triple Mania 28. Every year, Triple A puts on the best, wackiest, craziest, most violent, funniest, pure celebration, joy of wrestling. Can only be found at Triple Mania every year. And of course, we watch it. We watched it live with the friendos. Couldn't co-stream it this year, but given that they have deleted their YouTube channel and have regionalized their Facebook channel, something tells me I'm gonna be back on Twitch next year. But we'll find out. Maybe they'll be on Vimeo. I don't know. I don't know where they're gonna be at.
Who knows?
Yeah, Periscope. Who knows?
Who knows? Next category: cinematic match of the year. Of course, given that there was no fans at many of these shows, you know, various companies. Mostly AEW and WWE took advantage of that. I guess Impact did too. Took advantage of that and tried to expand upon the language, the visual language of pro wrestling. And therefore, we got these cinematic bouts. First nominee, AEW Stadium Stampede. This was tons of fun.
Yeah,
went all over the football stadium in Jacksonville. Just fun spot after fun spot. Culminated in Kenny Omega hitting a one-winged angel like off a camera platform. Down to like the tunnel. Fantastic. Tons of fun.
Really great stuff. After that, your match of the year, Firefly Funhouse. Of course, this was basically an avant-garde video essay on John Cena's career, told through the lens of a man who, Bray Wyatt, one of the most creative geniuses in wrestling today. It paid homage to Cena. It looked back and really analyzed the entire catalog of John Cena's long storied career. John Cena disappeared and has not been seen in kayfabe since then.
Really
a work of absolute art, this Firefly Funhouse match.
Brilliant match. Another cinematic effort from WWE at WrestleMania this year, the Boneyard match. I think they named this their match of the year. WWE, this is their match of the year.
They did. I think just because it was Undertaker's last match, I think they were giving him,
And it was fun. It was a really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
About just a cinematically filmed fight scene essentially that went all over the set. A lot of fun, some good character moments. He had AJ really chewing up the scenery as best he could. He got the Good Brothers making an appearance there too. Really fun match. I know this next nominee is probably Steve's favorite. The Money in the Bank match.
2020's Money in the Bank ladder match. We got simultaneous men's and women. What do they call this? The corporate, was it like climbing the corporate ladder or something like that, where they're at the WWE headquarters.
Titan Towers,
It was like, it's a mad world. Just a mad dash to get up that ladder, but they had to climb up all the floors. We had people being thrown off buildings. Boy, oh boy, this was tons of fun. And then, of course, it was enhanced even more so by my prediction that Otis was going to win Money in the Bank.
At the expense of my prediction, AJ Styles.
And it played out to perfection with AJ grabbing it and then it falling from his hands and landing into Otis. You couldn't plan a better moment for us.
You could. AJ just could have got it.
It's not possible to have planned.
Look how that worked out for WWE.
Take yourself out of it, man. It was a really great moment.
Can't take myself out of it. That sucked. Final nominee for cinematic match of the year, the Elite Deletion. It was at turns hilarious. And exceedingly violent.
Disturbingly violent,
We got all the hallmarks of a Matt Hardy deletion match. A lot of fireworks. That's kind of like the major thing. Tons of fireworks. We got a dilapidated boat. Senior Benjamin. We got all that. And then we got like just once they made it into the hangar he has there. It got violent.
Things really took a turn. Sammy Guevara basically got killed in that match.
Virtually, yes.
After that, our next category is actual match of the year. So one of these, we'll just start with this one actually. Randy Orton versus Edge. They did reshoots. They did edit it up a little bit. But I mean, what you saw was what you saw. It's not like they, you know, were hiding anybody's weaknesses. I think those were mainly production things that they were just trying to fine tune, which is an interesting way of going about it. Mm-hmm. That, of course, Randy Orton versus Edge, greatest match ever. After that, we've got Ilya Dragunov versus Walter in NXT UK. If you haven't seen this, go watch it now. It's my match of the year.
It hurts. It hurts to watch this. It hurts.
Really does. I love it.
We mentioned this several times already. Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega and Hangman Page at AEW Revolution. Just a masterpiece of tag team wrestling. You know, I'm not sure which I like more, this bout or the Young Bucks versus Kenny and Kota Ibushi at the New Japan Long Beach show a few years back. I'm curious to see what my opinion would be if I watched them back to back.
Yeah.
Both just brilliant tag team bouts.
Off the top, I mean, just like thinking about it, like I've never seen a better tag match than that Golden Lovers Young Bucks match. And I didn't quite feel the same way with this one. But again, like you say, maybe if I watch them back to back, I feel
Here's different. The thing, too. I've only seen that match, the Young Bucks versus Kenny and Kota, live. I haven't seen the televised one. So maybe my opinion would be different.
Could be.
Not being there. You know, because the vibe of the building was crazy for that match. Mm-hmm. Absolutely crazy. Next, Sasha Banks versus Bayley at Hell in a Cell. A clinic, an absolute clinic, calling back to their previous matches, making references to the story beats in their feud.
Brilliant. The level of detail in this match, all the references, their current feud, their previous feuds, all there, just two masters of the game right now. I liken Bayley to right now is prime Daniel Bryan. I think she's doing work that enhances everybody. She's really at another level. Sasha is as well. I'm so glad that she's been able to stay healthy during this run, because you can really see her put on some really fantastic matches.
Yep. And the final nominee, Kazuchika Okada versus Kota Ibushi, Wrestle Kingdom 14, night one. We saw the birth of Trance Ibushi in this match.
Yeah.
It was great. It's Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. You know it's going to be good. Kota Ibushi, brilliant wrestler in his own right. Put on a masterpiece. Fantastic.
I hope we get two Trance Ibushi matches coming weekend.
I can't wait.
And then we've got Wrestler of the Year. Who is the Wrestler of the Year? Here are your options. Sasha Banks. Of course, already talked about her a little bit. Had a terrific two-man power trip-esque run with Bayley. And then ended up finally beating Bayley for that title. And now defending that title successfully, they're basically taking all the knocks that you could have had against Sasha Banks and rectifying all those, fixing all those for a truly epic run. Hopefully they give these two a match at WrestleMania coming up
30
next
minutes
year.
Minimum.
Speaking of which, Bayley also up for Wrestler of the Year. We talked extensively about both these two because they were our 2020 Wrestlers of the Year. Bayley, you know, I think set like a new record or something for longest title reign, SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah.
And then I think with that, she also for total number of days as women's champion at this point is second only to the Fabulous Moolah, who
I think you're correct there.
Owned the title for several decades.
Yeah. Days of combined reign and stuff. Next nominee, Asuka. She really was the MVP of WWE for the first third of the year, you know, going even into the summer. It's just kind of a bummer. They haven't done much with her from a creative standpoint since her feud with Sasha and Bayley. So in the fall, feels like it's been forever since she defended her title. Now she's women's tag champs with Charlotte. I'm sure that's going to lead to a feud between the two of them for the Raw women's title, which will, I'm assuming, culminate at WrestleMania. Hopefully Asuka finally gets her win over Charlotte then.
That'd be great. Next, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the guy who puts money, who puts food on both of our tables, Larson.
Yes.
Roman Reigns, of course, returned after sitting out the Performance Center era of wrestling, sitting out WrestleMania. He came back, and man, what a reimagining of his character, a guy who has understood that doing it the right way for all these years doesn't work, and having the burden of being the face of the company, of having to put food on everybody on the roster's table, comes with a price that he is willing to pay. So he has enlisted the aid of Paul Heyman to help steer him through these waters. Mm-hmm. And man, what a monster that creation has become. Compelling television, compelling character work.
You got that right.
Great stuff.
Randy Orton, he's had himself a career renaissance, almost 20 years into his career, doing some of the best work. Great feud with Edge. A lot of really fun stuff with Drew McIntyre as well. You know, he just went weeks at a time just punting legends. Mm-hmm. And now he's in something really good with Bray Wyatt. So he's managed to sustain this. Every time it feels like there's no fans to do the thing where someone is doing such good heel work, so they turn the face, obviously. But every time they kind of get to a point where that seemed like that would happen, they have him do something really bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, okay, no doubt, Randy Orton, as he likes to put it, is an evil SOB.
Yeah. Not one moment of 2020 with Randy Orton has been phoned in. It's all been inspired stuff. All of it has been, it seems like he has been in an absolute playground and he is just really thoroughly enjoying. Maybe he feels that, you know, the end maybe he's at the beginning of the end. Maybe he thinks he's towards the middle of the end. I don't know.
You look at him, you see how he still wrestles. You think he could wrestle another 20 years if he wanted to.
It just seems like he's having a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way all year through empty arena stuff, truly empty arena stuff. He's been having a ton of fun. So there you have it. There are your wrestlers of the year, the nominations for wrestler of the year. So there you go.
That's your nominees again. Voting is live, open now in our community tab, youtube.com/ Steven Larson. Go there, hit community tab. The direct link to community tab will be in the description below. There's polls for each category. Just vote your favorite in each poll. And then we'll close, I don't know, voting at the end of January or something. And then we'll announce the winners then.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sounds good. Man, we're 7 subscribers away from reaching 196,000, Larson. That's
maybe we'll get there by the time this video goes up on New Year's Day.
There you go. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate it. Vote now. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.